before I was getting up here, I got a text from my mother, and she was with my wife and children, who are for real, and they sent me a picture. I'm going to show you in just a second. But before I tell you that, or show you that, I want to say, Happy Reformation Day. Did you know that in 1517, on October 31st, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church? Did you know that? And did you know, I don't know if you guys were aware of it or not, but did you know that the devil has taken that day for himself? We call it Halloween. When I said happy, I thought you guys were going to go, he's going to say Halloween. No. There's nothing happy about Halloween except that it would be wiped off the face of the earth. But this is Reformation Day. And so my wife was with my children. There's my wife, actually. See, all right? It's for real. She's there on the left-hand side behind my daughter. My son, you can see the back of his head, and there is a friend of ours from the one of the local churches there in Fresno. And they're nailing up on a tree. I wish it would have been the door, but I wasn't there. They nailed it onto a tree. 95 theses. See that? Awesome! They're going to celebrate with good food, and they're going to have a wonderful time rejoicing in the Lord for what He has done through His servants in the past through the Word of God. Amen. Yes? Amen. I think we ought to try to take this day back for the Lord. Amen. Call it Reformation Day. Plan on it. We do, my family. We plan for this day. We have stuff that we do with the kids, and they actually hid the 95 theses in different places. And my kids had to kind of search them out like they were searching out the truth, you know? They found the truth, they taped it together, and they nailed it up on the tree. I think it's a wonderful idea. But since I don't have long, I am going to pray with you all. And then we're going to look into the Word of God for just a short time. And yes, also, happy Sabbath. Amen. This is the time where we're closing the Sabbath hours, and it is, as was mentioned before, a holy time. This is a wonderful time. The Sabbath was made for man, specifically for, as we can read in Genesis chapter 2, specifically for the purpose of God spending time with His creatures, and His creatures spending time with God. The people didn't have to rest. The Sabbath says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, rest from all your labors. But they didn't have to rest. They hadn't labored. They were just created. So the very onset of the Sabbath is spending time with your Creator. Let's do that now as we pray, okay? Holy Father in heaven, it is good to be here. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you so much for the fellowship, for the food, for the place, for the beautiful weather outside, for the warmth in here, for the sunshine of your love above the clouds. We praise you for giving us the opportunity to be here on your holy time, in your holy time, your holy Sabbath. Bless us, please, as we take a moment to look at a few things in the Holy Scripture. Your purpose, your plan, your desire for restoration. We ask that you guide us through this time, and thank you, and please do not trust me with a single word before this, your people here tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, see, we have two screens, and I've noticed from sitting back there that most of you all are looking at this direction. Did you know that? Most of you all are looking this direction. I don't know if you were aware of that, but I'm going to try to use both screens. So now everybody look at this one, and then everybody, no, I'm kidding. But what I'm going to look at for just a second is New Start from Eden to Eden. You've probably seen this. This is not big news, but I like it. It's beautiful. And I'm trying to build the foundation for what will be in the future in our time together. Something that you may not have seen before, but is just as real. Okay, New Start. What does this mean, New Start? Help me out.
Nutrition.
Yes, nutrition. You're on the right track. Exercise, water, sunshine, trust in God, air, rest, and temperance, right? So you can move the temperance and the trust back and forth, but I prefer to move the trust first, and you'll see why in a second. Now, this side of the room, if you're looking in this direction, read with me now. I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. That was God's original plan. Nutrition, right? Now everybody else on this side, look over here and read with me. The next one, if I can get it to work. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. God's purpose in his original plan, because it was messed up by the choice of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, his purpose is to restore Eden. You see, Eden was given to us in the nutrition, the beautiful plan that he had, and now he's going to restore it. That's the goal that he has. That's his purpose, to bring you back into Eden restored, the kingdom of his glory. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so now over here, let's read another one. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Exercise right there in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Now, look at this one over here. I don't know how this, which way to point this one. Exercise in Revelation 21:24. Read it with me now over here. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Ha! I was thinking early when I was preparing of Jeannie. And Jeannie, you were leading us through, not us, I didn't go, you'll have to forgive me. But you were leading this group through walking in the morning. And I was thinking of you as I read this. If you just take off a couple of words, them which are saved shall walk. Yeah? That's part of God's plan, right? Exercise. So, new start, we have nutrition and exercise, both in the Garden of Eden and also in the kingdom restored, right? Okay, let's do this again. Let's go to the next one here. Water. Over here, read it with me. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Those waters were not brown, they were not gray, they were not anything other than perfectly pure. Pure water. Water from the Garden of Eden. Now, God also wants to have water in the new kingdom. Let's read it over here. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Water in Eden, water in the new kingdom, Eden restored. Amen? Okay, let's continue. You know what? I'm going to have to get a new one of these things. What do you say? He said amen. Sunlight, the next one. Read it over here if you can see it. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. Now over here, sunlight. There shall be no night. You got to help me now. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Sunlight in the Garden of Eden, sunlight in the kingdom restored. Amen? I love it. It's beautiful. Okay, now, trust. Everybody over here, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. If only Adam had trusted God, not only that he would be honest with his own words, but that he would restore to him a woman if necessary, he would have been blessed by this trust that God asked him to have. Right? What about in the new kingdom? Are we going to have to trust God? Well, hey, check it out. Read with me. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You don't have to worry about the night. You don't even have to shut the gates at night. Or there won't be any night. So you don't have to shut the gates. No more locking the door, family, because we can trust the Lord in kingdom restored. Yes? Okay. Well, air. Read with me now if you can see it. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the fresh breath of life. Now in the new kingdom, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now is there going to be any taint in that air in the new earth? The fresh air restored. God is going from Eden to Eden. Restoration, that's God's business. In the kingdom, God wants you to have everything that he started with in the Garden of Eden. Do you want to be there?
Yes.
I want to be there. I want to be there with all my heart. Now rest. On the seventh day, read with me, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Now we're on this side, you got to help me out.
It says, rest. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Isaiah 66:23. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So can you imagine, there's going to be no temple, but we're still going to be coming to worship, and so we're going to have that rest on a weekly basis. Amen?
Amen.
Worshiping the Creator, enjoying his presence more than ever before. Now, temperance. I think it's kind of built into everything. Maybe you guys can give me some scriptures, because I've done this study alone. I know others have showed it, but I've never seen the scriptures attached to it, so I did it on my own. Temperance is intended with each of these gifts. What happens if you get too much water? You drown. What happens if there's too much air, like, for example, in your blood? Yeah, it stops your heart, right? What happens if you exercise way too much? You get sore. What happens if you don't exercise enough? Yeah, atrophy. So if you get too much or too little of any of them, even good food, you gain weight, or you lose weight and you die. So temperance is built into every single one of these amazing gifts that God has given from the Garden of Eden, and wants to restore these things in his kingdom. Now, we know that the book of Matthew is more the kingdom gospel, okay? So if you look at all 57 times the word kingdom is used, I want you to read every single one of them with me. No, I'm kidding. But you can go home and you can do that. You can read every single of the 57 times the word kingdom is used in the King James Version of the Bible. I'm just going to read, I think it's 8 of them. So, because God wants us all to be restored in his kingdom. We're still setting the ground for the thing that I'll share with you in the future. John was... Okay, now here's an idea. Every time you see the word kingdom as I'm reading, I want everybody to say kingdom all together with me. Don't read the rest of the verse, just the word kingdom. John was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3, verse 2. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, verse 17. Okay, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Ah, you guys almost missed it. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verses 19 through 20. Notice what it says. If this will work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Now, one more here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
He that does what? The will of my Father. Yes, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart, Psalm 40 says, right? So now, God wants you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and everybody you work with, even your enemies, to be in his new kingdom. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Yes, that's true. It's absolutely true. So that's why God wants you to be in Jerusalem. But guess what? In the book of Revelation, there's another kingdom. What's it called?
Babylon.
Now, look with me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And by the way, these notes are online. If you'd like, I can give you a reference, and you'll be able to find them online. And, now that I mentioned that, you know this issue of women's ordination is a hot topic, right? I've been preaching many weekends at local churches in Fresno, and my goal has been to, in the most part, present sermons that are illustrating what the Bible teaches about the organization, the purpose of why God has designed men to be in leadership positions in his church, the symbolism of why it's important, the story of poor David and Abiram, Jeroboam. I've looked at several different stories, okay, in the Bible, and there's one that I linked up on this reference that I want to give you. It's called The Sanctuary Attacked, okay? Somebody said, it was you, somebody said, hey, I heard that sermon on Audioverse. What a blessing, and praise the Lord. That sermon needs to go far and wide. You can go to, if you don't mind writing this down, it's called revelationwithdaniel.com, okay? revelationwithdaniel.com. I put it up just this morning so I can give you a reference because I want those sermons to go far and wide. I want you to share them on Facebook, give them to your friends, help people to hear and understand these two sermons. revelationwithdaniel.com/summit. S-U-M-M-I-T. Okay?
revelationwithdaniel.com/summit. You'll find them there.
The notes also for this presentation are up there. So now, we're in Revelation 21, verse 9. The Bible says, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Okay, so we can read there about I will show thee the bride.
Now, notice with me another verse that will say, as soon as I can get there, Revelation 17, verse 1. And Revelation 17, verse 1 says something very interesting. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters.
Whoa. Those sound pretty similar, right? In fact, why don't you turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, okay? You turn there. I'll stay in Revelation 17, verse 1. I'm going to read this verse while you're reading the other one. Okay, don't read it out loud, just read it in your head. Revelation 21, verse 9.
The Bible says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters.
You see some similarities there? Pretty fascinating, isn't it? Well, guess what? The Bible is doing that for the specific purpose of showing you there are two kingdoms. You see, God wants to restore Eden in your life right now so that you can be prepared for the Edom kingdom that he has set up for us in the future, right? The book of Matthew, for example, talks all about the kingdom, present and future, the kingdom. God wants you to have the kingdom now and in the future. But guess what? The enemy has come in and he's trying to have for you a kingdom just the same. So we're going to be looking at this now. The Lamb's wife is what was talked about in verse 9 that we just read in Revelation 21. But then you can see also in Revelation 17:1, there's the great whore.
So really, there's two women, okay? And the Bible says if you continue reading in 21 verse 10, and I can't read all these with you because I don't have enough time, it says he was carried away in the spirit. John was. Well, guess what? In chapter 17, verse 3, he was carried away in the spirit.
That only happens four times in the book of Revelation, and you can find out some amazing things by studying the context of those four times it's used, why it's used and how it's used and how better to understand the scripture by understanding that phrase.
But see, they go to a great and high mountain in 21, verse 10. Well, okay, so in chapter 17, verse 3, into the wilderness.
I like to think of, when you say the word wilderness, I like to think of great and high mountains, right?
So I think that they were brought into a similar place, to a great and high mountain, into the wilderness. Okay, so he showed me that great city in chapter 21, verse 10. Ha, guess what? Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, thou sawest that great city.
It's pretty interesting, isn't it? You have one of the seven angels with the seven vials, and he comes to John and he says, hey, come here, I want to show you something. It's a woman. But over here you have one of the seven angels with the seven vials, and he comes to John and he says, hey, come here, I want to show you something. There's a woman. They're in the wilderness. By the way, I'm going to carry you away into the spirit to show you both of them. They're both the great city. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, so what you see is one is called the Holy Jerusalem.
The other one is called Babylon the Great. So you're taken by one of the seven angels that has the seven vials, and you're taken into the wilderness by the Spirit. You're brought into this place, and you see this woman that is
in the mountains, and she has a name written on her. Wow.
Okay. So one comes out of heaven from God in chapter 21, verse 10. The other one is that great city thrown down by the angel out of heaven.
So they both come from on high down. So if you're not careful and you see one coming down and you see one coming down and they're both women and they both have a name written on them, they're both in the wilderness and they both have the angel that has the seven vials and they are, you know, brought to both of them by the Spirit, and you're looking at both and you're like, this is kind of confusing. What's going on here? We'll see. One has the glory of God in chapter 21, verse 11. Well, the other one has glory too. She hath glorified herself, you see, in chapter 18, verse 7. Like I said, the notes are online if you're interested. Now, another one that's interesting, the holy city, the kingdom that God has offered to you, has a stone most precious. And the other city has precious stones.
They're dressed so similarly, it's hard to tell the difference. And no wonder. All the world wanders after the beast.
Oh, guess what? The beast impersonates Jesus, just like Babylon impersonates Jerusalem. And the second beast of Revelation 13 impersonates the Holy Spirit, just like Babylon impersonates Jerusalem. And, oh, by the way, the dragon of Revelation 12 impersonates the Father, just like Babylon impersonates Jerusalem. So you have the false Godhead setting up this kingdom.
And if you don't know the Bible well enough, you're going to be in a kingdom, you're going to have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit,
which I call the fraud head, the false Godhead, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the fraud head. They're there, they're leading you through worship, there's gold, there's glory, there's a woman, you're in the wilderness, there's a name written, you're, wow, this is amazing.
And all of a sudden you start reading your Bible and you realize, whoa, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place.
That sign says Babylon the Great, whereas I need to be looking for something that says Jerusalem, the holy city. They both are called the great city, but if you don't know your Bible well enough for yourself, you're going to be deceived. That's the whole point of this thing. Now listen, one city has 12 foundations. The other city sits upon many waters.
They both have foundations, you see. Okay, so they both are women. They both are... You know, you see them by being carried away in the spirit. They're both in the wilderness scenario. They're both called that great city. They both have a name written on them. They both come down from heaven. They both have glory. They both have a stone most precious. They both have foundations. One is a city of pure gold. The other one is, decked with gold. You can read it for yourself. That's what the Bible says.
In fact, you know what's interesting? This harlot of Revelation 17, she's clothed with, the Bible says, purple, scarlet, gold,
and, in chapter 18, fine linen. The identical things that the priests of Exodus 28 wore,
except they're missing something. What are they missing? They're missing one of the colors, blue, which in Numbers chapter 15 at the end says, reflects their desire and commitment to be obedient to God's will, which is his commandments.
Yeah, they don't. See, this woman, this city, you won't find blue in her. Because she's not committed to the will of God.
That's the problem. If you don't know the Bible, you're going to be swept into this Babylonian system,
and it looks so similar. With the fraud head leading you in worship, there's gold and there's glory and all these wonderful things, and you're going to be deceived and lost. Unless you know the Bible for yourself.
It takes time to study the Bible, and you've got to commit yourself to it.
If you don't, you're going to be on the other side of the city, because by God's grace, I plan to be inside of it during that time. I don't want you folk to lose out on that blessed kingdom that God has promised in Eden restored. Now, Jerusalem has precious stones and pearls. Precious stones and pearls were
part of the garb of Babylon.
Now there's another one here, I'm sure. The glory of God did lighten God's city, Jerusalem. And a candle, it says, will shine no more. but at the time it's future tense. So that means that there was glory there too, or at least light, because there was glory. She glorified herself earlier. But there was light in the city, candlelight. They both have light. They both have glory. They both have gold. They both have pearls and precious stones. They both have all these amazing things. So it says right there, Jerusalem, the kings will bring their glory into it. Here's one of the differences. Babylon says the kings bewail and lament. Now,
the whole point of what we're talking about today is that God has promised us Eden restored, has he not? Guess what? He also offered that to your family and your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, everybody you know, your Facebook folk, okay? He has offered this to every single one of them. If we're not willing to share the good news with them, they might miss out and be deceived by the fraud head and the false kingdom. They might fully miss out on the kingdom that God has promised to offer them if they're willing to accept, believe, submit, surrender, and be fully converted, walking with him. See, but the enemy knows this. And that's why he shows up with all this stuff that looks just like what God has. It's about deception. But we're about truth. And so Secrets Unsealed invites you to use Secrets Unsealed as a tool to distribute the gospel far and wide through the internet, through DVDs, through MP3s, through meetings like this, etc., so that you will be with your family, your friends, your neighbors, inside of God's kingdom restored, enjoying the nutrition, the exercise, the water, the sunshine, the trust in God, the fresh air, the rest, and that built-in temperance that comes with it. God has a whole plan that he wants you to be involved in, and your family and your friends. Let's not miss out.
Amen.
I've got one more slide. Returning to God's original plan includes Edenic restoration and humanity's restoration into his kingdom. Which kingdom do you choose? I want to be with God in his kingdom. What about you? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to look into your holy word. Thank you for giving us these broad thoughts that encompass every one of our lives. We're all involved in this war between God and the fraud. We ask that you would please give us biblical time, give us studious minds, help us to understand the depth of your love and be enveloped in the Spirit so that he can lead us and live his life out through us, and we can be drawn along with our family and our friends into that everlasting kingdom that you've promised. Thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.